And as we do every Monday morning, right around this time, we get to the legal buzz and what is going on with our Bridge legal advisors to help answer questions. And, oh, we've got questions, and we'll see what answers we get from our buddy, Bridge legal advisor, David Ayler, who's stopping by on this Monday morning practicing social distancing. Good morning, David. How you doing?
I think we're pretty close to 6 feet.
So we're close good. Enough. We're close enough, yeah. And I've got plenty of sanitizer around here.
You definitely do.
All right. Now, before we get into the legal stickiness between the city and the cities and the states and this whole stay-at-home order or whatever, I saw you online with Chef Brett McKee doing some really cool stuff with offering meals. Can you explain what you guys are doing? Because Brett McKee is such a great chef, and I thought it was really cool what y'all are doing.
Yeah, Brett's an all-time friend of mine, as he is probably a lot of our listeners, and I know you and he is always doing something within the community. Yep. No matter if it's a time of crisis like we're in right now or it's just an average week, Brett gives a lot of his time and his efforts and his money to help out the community so much. And this is just another example, and we were lucky to team up with him with our personal relationship and then professional. And essentially, Brett is doing a lot of home deliveries of some just amazing food, if you know anything about Brett's cooking. And we teamed up with him to try to help that as well, because not every family and not every person is going to be able to afford having those catered home-cooked meals brought to their house. And so we're working with Brett. Everything's online, and we're choosing a couple of families. Just depends on each week how many per week that, you know, could use a good meal, could use a good home-cooked meal, and are, like so many others, in a financial strapped and scary position. So just doing a tiny bit to try to help out and, get a couple of people and some young kids and their parents that are so stressed out, as so many are that we're talking to right now. And so just something cool Brett and I are doing together. Again, it's not going to change the world or to even change the town or the Tri-County area. But if we can help out a little bit, I guess all of us did that, it'll make at least some difference.
I was going to say that it's going to change the life of some family of some people that are looking for a meal. And so I think that's great. I saw you guys doing that online. And yeah, Chef Brett McKee is as good a chef as we have here in town. And to get a home-cooked meal from him.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one yet, so I might have to choose myself.
But what you guys are doing, though, that's awesome. And I'm dying to get your opinion on this whole stay-at-home thing. So it bothered me because it felt like last week when we keep saying stay home, save lives, you know, that it's pretty simple. And then the governor on Friday, when he had his press conference, it seems very reluctant to issue a statewide stay-at-home order. So you had the city of Charleston do that last week. You also had the city of Columbia institute one. All of Williamsburg County has a stay-at-home order. And then you saw Isle of Palm, Sullivan's Island, Folly Beach, Edisto Beach. They say, okay, we're locking the beaches up, and you can only get on if you're a resident. Well, then the attorney general comes out with his assessment saying these cities can't do these stay-at-home orders because they fly in the face of the state constitution. So then Edisto Beach and Folly Beach reopen. And that was much to the chagrin of residents there. And then all the traffic and all the people who were heading out to the beach not practicing social distancing. So they had emergency meetings Saturday in Folly, Sunday in Edisto, and they've reclosed the beach. And the attorney general has reassessed this situation and said, okay, the cities can enforce this, but unless somebody challenges it in court, can you try to clear this up on who, can they legally do stay-at-home orders, or does it have to be the governor? And how does this... Well, how is the situation happening?
You know, there's several factors here, and unfortunately, we don't have an hour and a half, nor do people want to hear me break it all down that you have to look at. Starting with the first thing is the roads. Like before, you know, we're just talking about those three right there, Isle of Palms. I know they're thinking about doing it at Hilton Head, too. Obviously, they did it at Sullivan's as well. And Folly, those are county roads, or state roads, rather. And so what that means is that those roads are kept up by the state, meaning it's state funding. It comes from the legislature. They're the ones that, if there's potholes, they're the ones that has to add, you know, a new turning lane or whatever. So the first issue that you saw a lot of people have, and I think coming from the state side of it, was you're stopping people on a state road, a state maintained and a state owned road. You may be in the city of Isle of Palms or Sullivan's Island or Folly Beach. However, the road is not paid for by you. It is paid for and owned by the state. So that was the first issue you saw. And then beyond that, in regards to the stay-at-home rule, the way that the attorney general, and again, that's just an advisory opinion, you know, and that's what we use the attorney general's office for a lot. They'll say, what's the advisory opinion on this? And you can have any legislator ask, and then they'll put out what they believe it to be. Now, they're not a judge, so it's not a court ruling. I think people get confused about that. And then basically, then you're talking about when these towns are going or cities are saying, no, it's a state of emergency. Therefore, the mayor and or the council has the right to, you know, within their own city limit limits, be able to stop people, just have residents, something that we often see, of course, hurricanes and things like that. And there's just a lot of confusion there because there are some gray areas in the law, because then you think about one other thing I'll mention, and I'm familiar with this just from the, in the real estate industry some, is that you have people that have short-term rentals, companies, and then, you know, Airbnbs, singular, whatnot, and they're saying, well, you can't come in. And then the argument there is, well, what scientific, you know, evidence do you have that this family of four that has rented this beach house since last summer or whatever, you know, is going to bring any more potential coronavirus other than just the sheer number side of it? So there's so many different angles. Essentially, what the mayor and the city council think of the, these different cities, or of course, you know, you have county government. For instance, Berkeley County is run by the Berkeley County Supervisor. He's more or less Johnny Crib. He more or less is sort of the mayor of the county, for lack of a better term, or the, you know, the head of the county. So he would be the one that would make the decision in Berkeley County, which, to my knowledge, has not been made for the county. So then you get in this weird area of Daniel Island, which is in the city of Charleston. As we know, Mayor Tecklenburg has said all non-essential businesses, yet in the Berkeley, it's in the county of Berkeley, which is not at that point yet. So a lot of different confusion, but again, the attorney general's opinion is just advisory. That's why it's simply saying you have potential of you know, being open to lawsuits. But then on the other hand, you may see some serious things come out of it from the real estate side if the people want to talk about the loss of income. But if it's just you and I and we want to go out to the beach to walk around and we're not able to go because we don't live there, what is our true damages?
Right. I mean, there are some people saying, look, my tax dollars go to re-nourishing this beach. I should be able to go out there whenever I want to. I also understand the people who live at the beach saying, we don't want you to come out here, stay home, save lives. And so you've got the mayors and they said, you know what, we're going to listen to the attorney general. And then they open the beach and like, maybe we shouldn't have listened to the attorney general. So now they close the beach again. It would seem like if the governor was to do it, that would take care of all of these discussions, but the governor is reluctant to do it because there are some rural areas, say, of South Carolina that aren't as affected as some of the areas like Charleston County. So I don't see where we're, I mean, unless the governor makes a decision, it's going to be a kind of a patchwork, a group of decisions.
You know, I think that at this point, obviously, there's probably a lot of the reasons why the governor hasn't done it yet. And I think you pointed to one that's probably really important is just the essential needs of a lot of these smaller areas and the economic impact that we've already had. And we'll now continue to see through at least April 30th per President Trump's speech last night. So, you know, are they going to end up doing exactly what you've seen, like you said, in so many other states? They haven't done it yet. However, the numbers, as you just previously mentioned when opening the show here, or this segment, they continue to rise. Yeah. So I wouldn't be shocked if you did see it coming now, simply just based off the continued rising of the numbers, because there's going to be continuing more tests and more tests available, and unfortunately find out more people that actually have you know, been testing positive.
I just didn't like the way that the governor sounded on Friday when he said, well, if everybody just listens to the stay at home and save lives thing and everybody seems to be doing that, then we're going to be okay. And I'm like, if. Okay, if is the most important. Yeah, if everybody went the speed limit, we wouldn't have to have signs on the road to enforce the speed limit. I mean, that's a very tenuous thing to hang a government policy on, if you do the right thing.
You know, and that's what it comes down to, and I think it just has a lot to do for everybody involved, for whether you be a citizen or a member of any you know, government, local or state, or even national for that matter. You're always going to have those conflicts between the governments, from state to national, from you know, county to city, you
name it. I'm a fan of home rule, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But this isn't like your hurricane situation. Yeah. And let's think about that real quick, and I know we're running out of time.
That's okay.
When you're in Folly Beach, let's just use Folly as an example. Why do they want everybody? Why do they give them a curfew? Why do they only let residents in? It's mainly for one reason. Safety, all right? Meaning if you and your family have left and you have your very nice home with very nice things in it and you and every single one of your neighbors are gone, there's a very good chance somebody potentially could loot, right? Yep. Breaking your home. So that's protection of the home and protection of the businesses and everything else, which puts a lot of strain on the police because people are, it's a quote unquote ghost town because you're not going to stay there, or most don't. Well, this is the opposite of that.
Yeah,
so it's a very odd situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone that more or less lives there is there, yet they don't want other people to come in, not because they're worried about them breaking in their house, because you're inside your house where you're supposed to be. They're concerned about them bringing in, you know, a disease. It's almost like a different version of looking at what's the best for the public and the residents of that area.
Man.
So you can see all the different sides of it, but man. Definitely
strange.
Not something anybody's ever experienced before here.
Yes.
No matter how many hurricanes and all you local Charlestonians that said, I've been through XYZ, you know, and then this is a completely new animal.
Uncharted territory. I think we might have cleared things up there.
Maybe we might have just confused ourselves more.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Sorry, guys.
But that's an indication of where we are on this Monday, March 30th. Okay, how can people get in touch with you, David, where you are when it comes to legal questions, buddy?
Yes, we are obviously still working some remotely, some in the office, just depending, of course, by choice, and 6 feet away, 577-5530, davidaylor.com, Facebook, all that.
David, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very interesting what is going on, and that's why we want to talk about it with the Legal Buzz here at 105.5 The Bridge.